hymn there, I was noticing, wow, I don't have to take so many breaths as I do in Colorado. That first week in Colorado, you know, there's not as much oxygen because it's at a mile high. Denver is the mile high city. And so there's not as much oxygen. So that first week, until your body gets adjusted to it, I'm singing, I need thee every hour, most holy Lord. It's just hard to sing. So if I preach a little bit louder today, it's because I've got so much extra oxygen now, and it feels good. All right, we're still looking at just a couple more looks at 2 Thessalonians. So if you'd open your Bibles there, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Not ready to move on just yet. And so in case you thought I'd come back and start something new, I'll let you know that counting today, we got two more studies in 2 Thessalonians before we move on to the next book. All right, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We've been in chapters 2 and 3 just kind of going back and forth for a little while, if you can remember that far back. Today, it's going to be a little bit different. You notice in your notes, I didn't put any scripture references, just some headings. And so use that just as a way of either putting down a prayer request under that point. Maybe as we go along here, you'll recognize something in your life that fits there, or somebody you need to pray for, and you can write their name in that block and pray for them that way, that God would give them peace in that certain situation. However you want to use that, but it's just going to be a little bit different today. But we're just going to look at a little phrase this morning that I hope will be an encouragement to you. There in verse number 16, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16, says, "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always. By all means, the Lord be with you all." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you are the Lord of peace. We thank you for all the various means by which you do bring peace to our lives and in every situation, good or bad. We just pray, Lord, that you'll help us to be thankful and grateful for those things that you've given us, and help us, Lord, to be able to bring peace to others as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I like the fact that our Lord is the Lord of peace. My Lord is the Lord of peace. That's right. I prefer the command to go and preach the gospel to all nations over the command to strap explosives to your chest and go blow up a restaurant. I mean, if you got to have a God, the God of peace is a whole lot better than a God of war and the God of death. I like our God. I like the God who says, "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not." I prefer that God to the God that says, "Throw your children into a volcano or into a waterfall or burn them in the fire." I like my God a whole lot better. I prefer the God who gives peace to my heart to the God who keeps me in a constant state of fear and turmoil. The God who says, "Well, you can't know for sure that you're saved. You can't know for sure that you have eternal life. You won't know for sure until you get there." I'm glad I have a God who has promised me everlasting life on the basis of his finished work. I prefer that God of peace. Also in this verse, I like the fact that God personally delivers additional peace when I need it. And he knows when I need it. Did you notice what he says there? The Lord of peace, okay, that's our Lord, himself give you peace always. Isn't that a blessing? Now, if you're looking for something important in the mail, for example, you're going to have your eye out, and you'll be happy when the mailman shows up. If you're looking for something to come in from a parcel company, you keep your eye out, and you're happy when you see that big truck pull up to your house. If somebody promised you that they were going to bring you something nice or bring you something that they owed you, and you see them coming up the street and parking at your house, that's a good thing to see. Makes you happy. But how about when you need peace and the world can't bring it, and of course the devil can't bring it, and man can't bring it, and money can't bring it, and you see the Lord himself stepping right into the midst of your situation and delivers peace to your heart. That's really a great thing there. It's an amazing thing. Not only that God would condescend to become man and to die for our sins, not only that God would condescend to save sinners, to lift us up out of the pit into which we'd stepped into, but having saved us, that God would continually step in onto our scene, step into the midst of our life, our difficulty, step into the very center of our troubles and turmoils, and personally deliver peace to our hearts. That's an amazing thing there. God doesn't just save you and walk away and say, I'm done with you. He sticks with you and helps you get through your troubles, your life. I'm glad I've got a personal God and not a God afar off. Then he says, the Lord of peace himself give you peace always. Always. That's kind of incredible if you really give it some thought. That means it is possible to always have peace. There are people who go to cemeteries with peace. There are people resting on their deathbeds, but they have peace. There's people who face financial trouble and physical and emotional setbacks beyond comprehension, but they've got peace. There are people who face the various trials of life with peace. And you look at all of those situations and you watch as this man who knows Jesus and that woman who knows Jesus, you watch as the Lord just bears them up through all of that, and you just get, you're astonished that God truly can deliver peace always. Not just in this type of situation or that type of problem or that sort of circumstance. I'm glad our God can provide peace always. That's how big he is. And the Bible says, and this is where I just want to dwell for a little while this morning. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. By all means. However, he's got to do it. He can do it. He can bring you peace. So, I've just been thinking for a little while now about all the different ways that the Lord delivers peace to you and to me, and in times when we really, really need it. You know, one great way that God delivers peace is when he saves your soul. When he saves you. And you'll not get saved until you know that you're lost. You'll not know that you're lost until you realize that you're a sinner. And when you realize that you're a lost sinner, and you begin to think and ponder the consequences of that sin, that's what brings you to salvation. Nobody gets saved unless they realize that they need to get saved. And what comes with that knowledge and that awareness that I need to be saved is, well, come on, let's just be honest about it. Think about this. There's a certain amount of fear. There's a certain amount of conviction. There's a certain amount of trouble. There's a certain amount of unrest. I mean, come on. That's all part of God's working in a life to bring somebody to Jesus. That's what it takes. And man, when you finally bow your heart and put your faith and your trust in the fact that Jesus died for you and was buried and rose from the dead, when you finally receive as your hope of salvation the gospel of Jesus Christ, well, doesn't God deliver peace to your heart? Praise be to His holy name, He sure does. There's a peace that comes with salvation that you cannot get anywhere else. Now, I know I know people that are under conviction, that they're lost, they know they're lost, and they're not saved, and they know they're fighting God. They can't get drunk enough to get peace. They can't get high enough in Colorado at the drugstore to get peace. They can't get enough religion to get peace. They can't do enough good deeds to get peace. Bible says, "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." But when the wicked man turns from his evil ways and calls upon the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, God grants a peace to that heart and to that life that could not be found anywhere else. I'm glad for the many ways that God delivers peace. And first and foremost is the peace that He gives when He saves your soul. I mean, listen, there are things that trouble me that probably wouldn't trouble you. And there's things that trouble you that probably wouldn't trouble me. There's things that bother all of us, right? But I'll tell you one thing, it's mighty good to know whatever happens between now and the grave, I am saved. I'm going to live with Jesus Christ for all eternity. I may not have peace about that situation just yet or that problem just yet. I may still be worrying about how this thing's going to turn out for the time being. But I'll tell you one thing that doesn't trouble this old sinner anymore, and that's hell. That's losing my soul in a lake of fire. I'm not concerned about that at all. Thank the Lord. I thank God for the peace that He brings when He saves a sinner. Then, there's a certain peace that God delivers when He grounds, or you could say He grounds the child of God. You could say He matures the child of God. You could say He educates the child of God. Many a born-again believer is quickly beset with doubts and fears and contradictions and uncertainties, and most of that is brought on by just a misunderstanding of the gospel. If you were told, maybe you were, if you were told that getting saved would solve all of your problems, and after you get saved, you still got problems, that might possibly shake you up. If you were told that getting saved would get rid of all of your health troubles and all of your money troubles and all of your family troubles, and you get saved and you're still sick and you're still poor and you're still fighting with your husband or your wife, that would shake you up. If you had the idea that being saved from the penalty of your sins meant that you would never sin again or never have the desire to sin again, and then a week after you get saved, suddenly you find yourself struggling with that old flesh and that old lust, that would shake you up a little bit. But hey, what a peace God delivers to the heart when as you continue to read the Word and continue to sit under the preaching of the Word and continue to pray and continue to grow in grace, one day the Lord establishes the truth to your heart that you really have everlasting life, that height nor depth nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other creature can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus your Lord. When you realize that no man is able to pluck you out of the Father's hand, you know, there's just a certain peace that comes as God reveals to you and God makes known to you all of the details and all of the benefits of that salvation. You know, the longer you're saved, the quicker God ought to be able to get peace delivered to your doubts and peace delivered to your fears and peace delivered to your uncertainties. As you get grounded in the Word, God delivers peace through that maturing process and through that grounding. And thank Him for it. Praise God. God delivers peace by resolving the conflicts that brought trouble. Does He not? Can you not look back at those times when maybe you were at odds with that brother and now everything's all right? You had a falling out with that sister. And now everything's all right like it never happened. There was a misunderstanding over here and God put that thing back together. There was a disagreement over here and God gave you both grace. And thank the Lord when conflict is resolved. That brings peace to the heart. Hey, I've sought men out and sought either forgiveness or reconciliation, tried to get forgiveness there, and had that thing refused. They said no. But man, when you seek out forgiveness or seek out reconciliation, and you see how God just works in both hearts, and there's real love, and there's resolution of the conflict, and then there's embracing, and the mutual agreement to love one another and to go on together as brother and sister. Hey, hallelujah! What a peace that brings to the heart. Sometimes people get all stirred up about something that's going on in the church, and they leave. Sometimes they stay and work that thing out, and they stay and work through that thing, and they deal with that person that seemingly was the cause of the problem. Whether they were or whether they weren't, it really doesn't matter. Maybe you were the problem. But when you allow God to work those things out, doesn't it bring peace to your heart? Man, when the family's going through a situation and it's just teetering on the brink and nothing can help now but Jesus, and everybody in that family turns to Jesus, and Jesus does help, and He does. And love replaces the strife and the fighting, and joy replaces conflict. Isn't it wonderful when God delivers peace to that situation? I'm glad I've got a God that delivers peace by all means. He's got a lot of ways to bring peace to your house and to bring peace to your home. I'm sure glad about that. Sometimes God just pours it into your heart. Have you never been in a situation where something was bothering you and you didn't even know what it was? You just feel bothered. Something was making you fearful and you couldn't even put your finger on it and identify it. Something that had you depressed or discouraged, and nobody in the world could see any reason for it. And you couldn't tell a reason for it because, well, you didn't know yourself what it was. And then just right in the middle of all that, suddenly God just settled your heart. Suddenly God just steadied your mind. Suddenly God just lifted you up above that whole thing. And for the life of you, you don't know how that thing turned around. You don't know what happened to take you out of darkness into light. You don't know what happened to take you out of sorrow and into joy. You don't know what happened that took you from despair and right back into hope. That's just God. That's just God delivering peace. You know, sometimes the Holy Ghost just decides to drop in on you and slip you a little peace. I like it when he does it like that. I like when I go to bed worried and I wake up and everything's okay. I like it when I get up in the morning all troubled and all torn up, but by the end of the day I'm rejoicing and happy in Jesus. And you say, well, what did you do? Sometimes you don't do anything. Well, what's the secret? I don't know. Sometimes, I mean, really, there's other times, think about it. Other times you can pray and pray and pray and pray, and it seems like the more that you do pray, the more upset you get. I'm just being honest with you. And then sometimes you be reading the Bible and you read the Bible and you read the Bible, and then all that does for you is it shows you more things that you should be under conviction about. I mean, let's be honest about this. You say, well, I'll just go to church. So you go to church, the preacher gets up and says, you know, if you really loved the Lord, you wouldn't be all upset like that. Oh, yeah, okay. Okay, I guess, yeah, you might be right. I mean, come on. Sometimes you do everything that you know you're supposed to do and still can't get that peace back in your heart. And then when you're not even looking, God just slips it in under the front door. He's good about that. He's really good about that. Sometimes God will teach you a truth that you didn't know before, and that truth is going to give you peace. I'll give you a couple of examples. A lot of you, when you were young Christians, you got excited about living for Jesus, so you started to witness. And little did you know that most of the time, lost people don't want to talk to you. But saved people want to fight with you when you're out there witnessing. You didn't know that. You thought everybody that's saved just loved Jesus and they were going to pat you on the back and say, way to go, brother. Keep up the good work. Hallelujah, sister. I'll be praying for you. Good job. And you went out witnessing, and what you found out was every single time you went, somebody tried to show you something in the Bible that threatened you with hell. Do you remember something like that? You know, look right here. Are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. Or are you going to heaven? Yeah, I'm going to heaven. You mean you don't think that you can lose it? Well, no, I've got eternal life. Eternal life. Oh, yeah. Well, let me show you this thing right here. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Huh? Well, what about that one there? What about that? Well, I don't know. I don't know what about that. And that saved person just robbed peace from a saved person with the Bible. Anybody remember something like that happened to you? Thank you. I do. Amen. Then one day, you know what God did? he hooked you up with somebody else, that somebody that said, well, look, sit down. Let me show you something, brother. This is the church. These are the Gentiles. These are the Jews. Now let's see who is being talked to here. Who's being addressed? And you just see that. Wow. Hallelujah. That peace just pours over you. and you see the truth. I'm not a Jew under the law trying to hang on to Palestine. I'm a born again child of God on my way to heaven. Whew. And the next time somebody said, oh yeah? Well, what if you don't keep the Sabbath? What if I don't? See? I've got peace through something that God taught me from His scriptures. One day, somebody sat you down and showed you that while the Jehovah's Witnesses were striving to get into the kingdom of heaven, you didn't have to strive because you were already in the kingdom of God, and the two weren't the same. You didn't have to strive because, I mean, you just said, you saw that truth and you said, wow, yeah, that's great. And peace came rushing into your heart. I can remember going to a church of a different flavor back in my early days as a Christian. And I remember hearing people testify in those meetings about how they'd gotten it back this week. You ever heard that term? I got it back this week. And that testimony was always followed by some gray-haired man or lady coming to the altar and crying like their firstborn child had just died. Because their testimony, that testimony, I got it back, that testimony convinced them that they also had lost it that week. And I'd sit there and I'd watch people that had been saved and sung in choirs and read their Bible and taught Sunday school for 40 years get panicked over the idea that after all that, God had cast them out because, well, they lost their temper that week. Or they said a bad word or had a bad thought or missed a tithe one Sunday. You know what'll put peace back in their heart? A little Bible education. If they'd just understood that Jesus paid for every one of their sins 2,000 years before they were ever born, and He's not going back up on the cross to pay again for the ones that they commit after they get saved, because when He cried, "It is finished," He really meant it. You know, just learning something from the Bible sometimes, that's a great way for God to deliver peace to your heart. I'm glad God has a lot of ways of bringing peace. How about this? Sometimes He doesn't take the trouble away. Sometimes He doesn't resolve the conflict. Sometimes He just gives you a greater blessing that is so superior to what was troubling you that the thing that was troubling you is not a big deal anymore in comparison. You know, He can do that. Sometimes you can get down and get discouraged and get bothered about something and get all tangled up in your mind about things that are going on, and you're going to go anyway on that visitation, even though you're a little bit troubled and have other problems. You say, I'm going to go on visitation anyway. You're going to go anyway to that nursing home or to that jail ministry, and then the Lord's going to let you lead some soul to Jesus. And let me tell you something. When that person that you just explained the gospel to bows their head and calls on the Savior to receive eternal life, you're going to walk out of that house not with your problems resolved, but with something having happened in your life so much bigger, so much better, that you're just not worried about it as the way you were when you went through that door. Sometimes God's just going to give you a blessing bigger than what's been bothering you to kind of help you put things in perspective. He's got a lot of ways to deliver peace. Many, many ways. How about this? Sometimes He'll speak to you through a song. He can do that. Have you ever noticed that there are hymns written in our hymnal that everybody in the church remembers singing, and you don't remember singing it until that one morning when what the author wrote spells out exactly what your situation is. And as you sing through the words to that song, God begins to speak truth to your heart. And God begins to reveal to you that, you know what? You're not the only one that's been this way. And I brought this man through it, and I brought this woman through it, and I'll bring you through it too. And by the time that song is over, there are tears running down your face, and nobody else is crying, just you. And there's a thrill that's just welling up in your soul, and nobody else is excited about it because, well, we sung that song so many times, or well, we've only sung that song a couple of times. We don't really know it that well. And it didn't mean a thing to anybody but you. But that morning, God had that song leader pick that song so that he could personally deliver some peace to you in a very unusual way. You know, sometimes you don't want to listen to preaching. You want to listen to somebody singing about Jesus. Sometimes riding down that road, you don't want to hear a doctrinal study. You want to hear somebody singing about, "Great is thy faithfulness." How many times has God delivered peace to your heart through a song that somebody wrote or somebody sang that told your story in the hour in which you needed to hear it? And it just kept you going, brought you a little peace. Sometimes it is a sermon or a Sunday school lesson. How many times has this preacher and every preacher gotten finished, and all preachers do this, we all do it, and it's not a pride thing, it's really not, it's not a recognition thing, but there's a certain understanding that we know you could be anywhere this morning, but you're here. And you're here expecting something from God's Word that will help you. That's why you're here. And there's many a time every preacher walks down off that platform and wishes to God somebody else had done the preaching, or that God had showed up and helped with that preaching, or that that the point that seemed to be so clear would have actually been clear. And then somebody will walk up to that preacher and say, "Brother, you don't have any idea what I was going through, and God had you go to that verse today. That's exactly what I needed to hear for my situation and my circumstance, and I just want to thank you. God really helped me today with that." You've got to thank God, because you know it wasn't the preacher. The preacher's been apologizing to God for making such a mess of things. But God, hey, if he wants to deliver some peace to your heart, he can do it through the worst preaching in the world. And he'll deliver it to you. He'll deliver it to you what you need, when you need it, in that hour. Haven't you had God ever do that for you? I have. Sometimes you've called a friend and you said, "I just wanted to call and see how you're doing." And it was no big deal to you. You're not even sure why you called. But you called somebody on a day when the devil's sitting on their shoulder saying, nobody cares about you. Nobody's interested in you. Nobody's concerned about your situation. And then somebody just picks up the phone and calls and said, I just wanted to know how you're doing today. You did? Really? I was just thinking about you. You were? I just want to let you know I'm praying for you. You are? You'd be surprised, after getting kicked 3 or 4 times, how much peace it can bring your heart to just have somebody say, I don't want to kick you. I just want to tell you I appreciate you and tell you I'm glad you're on our side. I'm glad you're saved. Hasn't God often brought peace to your heart through somebody just being a brother to you or sister to you? Doesn't God bring peace that way? How about through the Word? I said earlier, sometimes that doesn't fix everything, but boy, there's been many a time if you just sit and tune out everything else, turn off everything else, and just read that Bible, just read that book, it's hard to get so far down that the book of Ruth isn't enjoyable. It's hard to get so down in the dumps that Esther doesn't get you a little bit excited. I mean, you read Esther, you say to yourself, where's God? I can't see him anywhere in chapter 1. Where's God? I can't see him in chapter 2. Where's God? I can't see him in chapter 3. Where's God? I don't see him in chapter 4. You get to the end of the book and didn't see God anywhere mentioned, but hey, he was all over the place when you put it all together. And who hasn't read Job and found a verse in there that they never found before? Found a phrase in there that they'd never seen before? Or found something God said and put it in that book, and you're thinking, surely somebody must have added it to the Bible, because I know I read this before. It wasn't there the last time I read it. But it was. How many times has God just brought peace to your heart just from reading the Bible, from reading that old book? It works. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you what else he'll do. Talk about delivering peace. Your kinfolk will be crying. People you care for will be crying, yes. But you know what he's going to do for you one day? He's going to come and whisper in your ear and say, that's enough. Enough sickness, enough sorrow, enough pain, enough death, enough heartache, enough sin, enough disappointment. Why don't you just come on home with me? Why don't you just come on up to heaven? You've done a good job. You've fought a good fight. You've run a good race. You've finished your course. Why don't you just come on up here now? You say, yeah, but that's kind of scary to think about. It won't be when you're there. It won't be when you're there. See, you say it's scary now because God hadn't delivered all the peace that he's going to deliver in that day. He's got a whole busload of peace that he's going to bring you in that very hour. You know, some of you probably have seen a Christian brother or Christian sister die happy, trusting God. I'm telling you, there's peace that God delivers that passes all understanding when he takes you out of this world. This world that's been so much trouble and so much toil and so much burden. And when he ushers your soul into that land that's fairer than day, into that place where there's never a tombstone or a tear, I'm telling you, God is going to bring you some peace one day. Endless peace. unbroken peace. Wow. We're not talking about a peace treaty that lasts for a few months or even a few years. We're not talking about a peace in your heart that lasts only until the next big problem arises. We're talking about going to a place where nothing will ever trouble your soul ever again. You know why everybody in heaven is praising God? Because there's nothing left to pray about. Every song up there is a happy song. I love the book of Psalms. But did you know you better be singing those psalms in this life, because you won't need to sing them in the next. I mean, what are you going to do? Get to heaven and say, hey, let's read the book of Lamentations. Let's just lament. Let's mourn over some situation. You know, a lot of this Bible is to get you through down here. When you get up there, sure, you can study it. It's still going to be available to you. You can study it like a history lesson, but you won't need it. You talk about God delivering peace. See, if you're lost, you know what he's bringing? If you're lost, he's bringing you this. This is the message to you. Death is coming to get you. Death is coming to get you. If you're saved, the message is different. The Lord is coming to get you. And there's nothing but peace through that door. You know what God told us to do? He told us to do two things as a church. He said, if you're saved, I want you to be baptized. And that baptism is a picture of death, right? It's a picture of death and burial and resurrection. And it doesn't hurt. Now the Lord could have said, all right, everybody that's saved, here's what I want you to do. I want you to line up, and the deacons are going to hit you with a big stick. And that will prove that you really want to follow me. They're going to knock you out, unconscious, with clubs. And when you wake up, well, that'll be a picture of your resurrection. No, but he said, I just want you to go down in the water and come back up, because that doesn't hurt. And then he said, I want you to eat this bread. This is my body broken for you. I want you to drink this cup. And when you do that, you show the Lord's death till he comes. So he gave us two ordinances, both of them picturing death, but neither of which hurt at all. He's trying to tell you something. Death isn't coming for you. Peace is coming for you. You will be in the presence of the Lord before your body ever hits the ground. So the point of this whole message today is that the Lord has a lot of ways of delivering peace. Let's look at the verse one more time. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. And aren't you glad? Many, many different means God has of bringing peace. I need them all. And I'm sure there's more that I didn't think of that I haven't mentioned this morning, but he sure is a good God. Sure is. He's got peace for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that when you saved us, you gave us peace and you didn't walk away, but you stay with us and observe all the situations in our life, and you look at the times when we're troubled, and you look for ways that you can give us peace, bring peace back into our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you love us and care for us enough to be distressed when you see us distressed, and to try to help us out.
Thank you for your love. Thank you for your peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.